Good morning, everyone. I would like to call this meeting of the Public Services Committee to order. My name is Howard Chapman. I'll be chairing this meeting. First item on the agenda is approval of minutes from the April 4th, 2022 meeting.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve. Any discussion? Hearing none, call for the question. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, next item is public comments. Is there anyone here to speak under public comments this morning? Seeing none, move on to presentation by Charleston County Environmental Management regarding recycling. Mr. Weiss.
Yes, sir. Good morning. Today we've asked Sean Smetana from Charleston County Environmental Management to give a presentation per the request of the committee, and he's going to give a quick overview of the county's recycle program. Sean.
Thank you very much, Andy. Thank you very much for the opportunity to present. Go through a presentation here. We'll start out with a video. Volume. Well, the pictures are good. Okay.
Did work earlier.
Yeah, something's going on with your computer. That's not okay.
I can work around it if that's okay. Okay. Is that all right, sir? Okay. Around it. Okay. I apologize for that. Yeah, I can work through it. So what you're seeing here, these are aerial views of the Charleston County Recycling Center that opened up November 2020. It is our brand new facility. So this facility replaced what we had on Romney Street. Everybody familiar with the old Romney Street facility? So that facility was able to produce 6 tons of recyclables an hour. The new facility produces 25. It's a state-of-the-art facility, utilizes artificial intelligence, optical sorters, pickers, and it meets not only the current demands of the recycling program, but future demands of the recycling program. We also have fueling, and currently the collections operation is on site. So one of the important parts of what we do is recycling right, education, and enforcement. And what you would have seen in the video is that currently our collections goes and services 160,000 multifamily and single family residential homes every 2 weeks. All that material comes to the Charleston County Recycling Center, which is off Palmetto Commerce Parkway, where it gets processed. a big part of what we do there is in order to market and sell recyclables, they have to be good, clean recyclables. So enforcement is a huge part of what we do. And here is our mascot. This is Contamination Chucky. He's the one that showed up in a single stream recycling cart. It was dumped on our tip floor, and it also scared the loader operator first thing in the morning. But we use this as a great tipping off point, because what this does is illustrate one of the challenges across the industry. It's called wish cycling. This doll is probably made of plastic and metal, and somebody saw it and said, okay, we can recycle it. These sorts of things cannot be accepted in municipal programs, much like a lot of the things you see here. And this is what we're battling. So you have plastic bags. The illustration in the top right is a turkey carcass. You have an old gas hose. And you also see these large, real bulky plastic items. And one of the things people need to understand is that in order to have a successful program, what we're doing is we're baling like materials. Your cans, your bottles, cardboard, mixed paper, it all gets baled together and sold. There's simply not a place in the municipal operation for things like this. Shredded paper is one I understand that people do because they think it's paper. But when you see really the massive operation that we have now, those little pieces of paper aren't going to make it till the end of the line. So why is contamination a concern? Propane tanks is another one that ends up every now and then. Again, it's a metal object. People think it can be recycled. Well, one of them ended up in the back of a truck in West Ashley. So the driver heard the sound, and next thing you know, there was smoke coming out of the back. So thankfully, nobody was hurt. The truck actually wasn't even damaged that well, but you can see it created quite a mess. So what are the acceptable items? And really, we've come a long way in recycling education. Years ago, you heard plastic ones, threes, sixes, and that sort of thing. We're keeping it simple. If it's not one of these items, we'd prefer it not end up in your recycling cart. Plastic bottles, glass bottles, cardboard, mixed paper, milk jugs, aluminum and steel cans. And to give people, what we kind of tell people is, if it's not at least the size of your hand, it's probably not going to make it through the end of our system. Because one great example people ask about it, we get a lot of people that smash aluminum cans because you want to make more room in your cart. Well, this new equipment, they're optical sorters. So if they see a flat object come through the line, they're going to think it's cardboard. So it's one of the reasons we tell people, don't smush your aluminum cans, leave them whole. So it's just one of the little kinks in the operation as we educate people more and more, they understand the process better. Big, again, these are the know your no's. These are the things that end up in our system from time to time. And I talk about the no's because one of the common questions that we get from people is they see material from the recycling center goes to the landfill. Well, that's because some of the material that comes in the system is trash, stuff like this, and it needs to be disposed of. So whenever that happens, we call it residuals. As we go through the whole operation, we still have hand sorters, as advanced as our system are, that pull out some of these bigger pieces of equipment. It's loaded in a truck, and that is what's disposed of at the Beast Ferry. Another question we get from people is, all right, so once I put my stuff in the curb, where does it end up? What does it turn into? So we have a vendor that operates and runs our recycling center. They market the material out, they get it baled, they load it on trucks, and it goes out. These are some of the locations that they take the material from Charleston County to. In the bottom right corner, one of those is called Mohawk. It's a manufacturer up in Illinois, and they take your plastic bottles and turn it into rugs and carpet. We also have International Paper, Georgia Pacific, PW Plastics, just a few of the domestic areas that the material from Charleston County goes to. Andy and I were talking about this a little earlier. We all face this challenge in solid waste. It's just simple things that people need to do in order to make the operation work. Again, handles towards the house. There are occasions where people have trash and recycling on the same day. Keep those carts at least 3 feet away because we're all using the automated side loaders. And please have stuff out on the curb by 7 a.m. Enforcement. referred to that earlier. Quarterly, we do contamination checks in different neighborhoods. We have a tagging operation. So we send out staff and they literally get ahead of the trucks, look in carts. The blue tag means there's a small mistake, but we're going to pick it up. The orange tag means the cart is not acceptable. And if a citizen were to get three of these orange tags, we will remove the cart. Public education, website, social media, and doing presentations like this. Any opportunity we have to get in front of schools, local governments, HOAs, we take that opportunity. And now that some of the public health crisis restrictions have seemed to lax a little bit, we're able to get tours over to our new recycling center. We do have an education center in there. We have a recycling game, there's a scavenger hunt, a lot of examples of good recycling. So we've started to have a lot of youth groups and different organizations come in. So that invitation is open to any of your constituents who may enjoy that. This is good timing. On June 6th, we will be transitioning to Republic, who will be taking over the collections operation. They will move from 4 days a week to 5 days a week. You're going to receive a newsletter in about 2 weeks full of the information you see in front of you. Citizens should have already received a postcard alerting them to the change and pushing them to the website where you can look up what your current recycling collection date is, as well as what the new one will be on June 6th if you're changing. The change doesn't affect everybody. I think it's about 28,000 residents will be affected across Charleston County. Nothing should change from a citizen's end. You're still going to contact us with any questions. Your cart's still going to be the same. You don't have to order a new cart, and the material will still be the same. I believe in Mount Pleasant, there are three locations that'll change dates: Brickyard, Bee's Landing, and parts of Bell Hall. And again, they can look those up online, but our phone number is on everything. So if people don't want to look it up and they just want to ask us about it, we'd be happy to answer their questions. And my big send off is just reminding people plastic bags continue to be the single biggest challenge we have in terms of contamination. There are a few local grocery stores and hardware stores that have now started providing those thicker plastic bags. And unfortunately, one of them says recyclable on it, which isn't in our system. We always advise people we do go on a reduce, reuse, recycle kind of theme. So you can always take those plastic bags back to some of those grocery stores and they will recycle them there. So it's all about giving people an outlet. Do you have any questions?
Any questions from members of the committee? Ms. Corley.
Thank you so much for doing this, and thank you, Andy, for setting it up. I've been looking forward to this for like a couple of weeks now, so I do have a couple of questions. So the tags, I myself have not seen those before. Is that something new?
No. We've been doing it for probably 4 or 5 years now. And again, we don't do it over the whole county. We pick select neighborhoods. Usually a lot of it's based on what our drivers are seeing out in the field. So if there are certain neighborhoods where contamination rates visually are pretty high, and I will tell you across the county, we're at about an 18% contamination rate, which isn't bad nationwide, but we always strive to do better.
Because I know that out of all the no-nos, I mean, I myself have, I could have gotten 8 tickets by now, you know, and got my thing taken away. So this was so informational.
And just to add on to that, so the blue tags, for instance, are the educational ones to let you know. If we get little pieces of styrofoam or packing material, mm-hmm. that's the material that can be pulled out. If you get a cart that has a lot of food waste in it, that's going to jeopardize the rest of the recyclables. So one of the things why there may have been a mistake made, it may not be as detrimental to the system.
So I think I agree with you. I think education is number one when it comes to this, because people are trying to do the right thing. We just don't know. We don't have a good picture. Is there like a clear guideline, something slide that we could all push out through social media? And if we could have that presentation, I don't know if you can
absolutely
email it to us, but I would not mind sharing that also. I think that it's super informative. And when you talk about when they don't make it to the end, what does that mean? Like when stuff gets pulled out and they don't make it to the end?
Oh, sure. So the video would have illustrated how the sorting system works. So everything gets put on a giant conveyor belt and goes, and we have six hand sorters right off the top before it starts getting to all the robotics, the pickers, and the optical sorters. So that material, so a hand sorter sees stuff that's obvious contamination, large plastic bags, black bags, shredded paper. They'll pull that off, and it goes down a chute, basically. And all that material at the end of the day, which is all trash, non-recyclables, gets loaded onto a truck and is disposed of at Bees Ferry.
So that's adding to you guys, it's more work and taxpayers more expense, right? Because that seems like you're moving trash now twice instead of just having it go with the trash.
100%.
Yeah. Labor, all those costs that yeah. could not, doesn't have, don't have to be spent. That's great information about not smooshing aluminum cans and also not putting them in bags, because I think a lot of people do. I see them. People put all their cans, not beer cans, but into plastic bags and then put that in the. And what that does is it makes, that means somebody has to open that bag, dump out the cans.
Yes.
And then, all right. And then, so what did you mention how many, what percentage of all the recyclables that you collect actually get put to use?
So our contamination rate is 18%. I would have to get our outbound and inbound numbers, but I can get that for you. I would have to put those together to make sure I give you a proper percentage. But I know we did 22,000 tons outbound last year. So that means baled and sent out in calendar year 2021. I would have to see what the total inbound number is.
Okay.
And where that's a challenge is I think we've addressed some of the trash that ends up in the stream. So you'd have to take the trash number out of that. So in terms of like total recyclable material that went, but I can get that information for you, ma'am.
Now, it's just, I think sometimes people are, we feel like we're doing all this, trying to do the right thing, but it's for what, you know, like, mm-hmm. Is there some good coming out of this?
Yeah.
And you would say.
Absolutely. And it's not just the fact that we're giving these items a new life. The more people recycle properly, it's less that's ending up in the landfill.
Right.
And land space around here is not easy or cheap to come by. So preserving landfill space is an investment for the taxpayers as well.
Is it difficult to get buyers for the product, or is that to get buyers to want to buy or those products?
So that part of the system is handled by Charleston Recycling Services. They're the vendor that operates the facility and handles the marketing and sales of the product. So they haven't illustrated any issues with moving the material, and it does go out on a weekly basis.
So there is a need, and it goes away, and it doesn't come back in some.
Like, yeah, it doesn't come back.
Piled up.
No,
okay.
Yeah.
And I guess my last question, and thank you, Mr. Chapman, for allowing me to ask so many questions, is I am concerned about that big box store who's using those big, thick plastic bags. So the only way to recycle those is to take them back to them, because they are not actually recyclable.
I can tell you from experience, there are a few local grocery stores that have specific bins out front for plastic bags.
Okay.
So whenever, if and when I end up with a plastic bag, that's usually where it's brought back to. But we certainly encourage people to utilize reusable bags, the thicker, heavier ones.
Do you know where those go or how they get recycled?
I'm not.
No.
I don't.
Okay, I figured. All right, well, thank you again. Thank you so much. This was so informative. Thank you, Mr. Chapman. I'm done.
Any other questions? I have one, because you said you're going to change the days of operation from 5 to 4. There's also issues with holidays. And obviously, if you're in the middle of the week, you go to a Friday pickup. How is that going to be impacted with this change?
So we're moving from 4 days to 5 days.
Oh, okay.
But so if you have a Friday, if there's a holiday on a Monday and we get pushed back, we'll pick up on Saturdays.
On Saturday rather than Friday.
Mr. Chapman, I have one more question.
Yeah.
Ms. Corley.
One last thing. So So I think the big takeaway from this is, instead of thinking so much about using and then being able to recycle, it would be to think about what we're purchasing and to make our footprint less. So I know for me, those big detergent plastic bags, I hate those things, mm-hmm. because every time I see one, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's like a huge plastic, when you could just get the little, they're more expensive, but the little plastic ones, or anything that comes in a big plastic thing, even though it says it's recyclable, think about what we're buying before, and not just think, well, we can recycle that, because yep. it's still energy to recycle it. You still have to, there's a process, there's a cost to it. All right, I'm trying to do better. I'm trying to be a, you know, you guys know I'm a tree hugger. So anyway, all right, well, thank you again. Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you very much. Thank you for coming and presenting to us, and good luck with your new contractor.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
Mr. Weiss.
Sir. All right, to go along with Charleston County's presentation, give a overview of kind of the town's waste management division efforts. So we'll give you a quick presentation concerning those. So our recent initiatives that we've undertaken over the last couple years was transitioning to fully automated garbage trucks. And recently, within the last 2 weeks, we took delivery of our last three fully automated garbage trucks. So we now have 9 within the town. We're getting the stickers on them and the gas cards and everything. So we'll have our full fleet of 9 fully automated garbage trucks. To go in conjunction with the use of the fully automated garbage trucks, we've replaced the roll carts throughout the town to go with a roll cart that's compatible with the fully automated garbage trucks. And we've, for the most part, have completed that transition as well. The process consisted of bringing a contractor in once a year, replace, you know, 8,000 carts per year, and we're at the point where we aren't doing that in FY22 or FY23. We are down to the point where we can do the last couple neighborhoods on our own. And there are some neighborhoods that we haven't been able to complete this in, or that we've waited on because we know we're not going to be able to run the fully automated trucks in there, like a neighborhood like Ion, where it's just too congested to run the trucks and there's a lot of on-street parking. So we are pretty much completing both of those efforts right now. The way we're organized, the Waste Management Division consists of 46 people. And with that, there's a division chief, and then we're broken into two sections. Municipal Solid Waste, which we call MSW, has 21 people, and then the construction debris and vegetation is 24 people. Basically, MSW is your household garbage, and then what we C&D and vegetation we call trash. Our daily equipment goal is to put 10 full-size garbage trucks out each day, and then 2 small garbage trucks. Of those 10 garbage trucks, we intend to try to put out 6 fully automated and 4 rear loaders. This gives us spares. The biggest challenge for waste management collection is, you know, it's, you have enough people and enough equipment to collect the route every day. And that includes, you know, vacation, sick, or if equipment's in the shop. So our goal is to put 10 full size out each day and two small garbage trucks. And then on the C&D side, with the vegetation, our intent is 5 loaders, 10 scows, and 1 knuckle boom, which is the grapple truck, basically, that allows us to pick up the vegetation. The biggest challenge, as I stated, is making sure we have the equipment and the personnel available. So the routes change, well, the collection routes are the same, but who collects those routes is based on who's available and what equipment we have. So the Waste Management Division Chief has to make adjustments on the fly every day for collection. The beginning of each year, or actually at the end of each year, we put out a collection calendar for for the residents so they know when they're going to be collected. We run a 4-day schedule, and it's generally Monday through Thursday, but that gives us flexibility to adjust for holidays. If there's a holiday observed on Monday, we collect Tuesday through Friday. And this calendar, which gets posted online and is pushed out to the residents, shows when their neighborhood will get collected. The neighborhoods are color-coded, and they're listed in the graphic on the right-hand side of the slide. This map here shows the areas of town that are collected Monday through Thursday. Examples of what we pick up within the MSW and garbage, this is what gets put in the roll cart. And this is your household garbage is the primary focus. We will also take cardboard that isn't put into the recycling, and we will take residential medical waste as long as it's disposed of properly. Uncollectible items in the roll carts are landscape materials or any construction materials, things that are in non-town issued carts. It has to be in a town issued roll cart for us to collect it, but each resident gets one, and then they have the option of purchasing a second one for $70 if they $70 if they need one. We don't pick up prescription drugs or fluorescent light bulbs and propane tanks. And Sean mentioned, he showed a propane tank and what it did to one of the trucks. We have the same problem. We had one in a roll cart just a couple weeks ago, and it was picked up by a fully automated garbage truck. The driver was paying attention and looking in the camera that was looking into the hopper, and he saw the propane tank go into the truck, and he was able to take it out. So that is a problem when people just try to put things in, and it's hard to see when it's in the bottom of a garbage can. On the C&D vegetation side, what we call trash, this is where we pick up the yard debris, appliances, large bulk items. Things that can't be collected here is contractor generated debris. When a resident or a business hires somebody to do either yard work or, you know, construction, it's usually part of the contractor's fee, and they're supposed to haul that off on their own. It's not for the town to collect that. We also can't collect engine parts, wet paint, batteries, oil, or hazardous material.
Mr. Weiss, before you go any further, I showed you a picture this morning.
Yes, sir.
Of a problem on a street near where I live. I'm going to hand to our committee members to show where we not only have a problem with a assisted living location, but it's also a fire hazard because it's been out there for over 3 weeks, as well as being in a dry area and with a lot of pine trees. So it'd be very easy to catch fire. Go ahead. I'm sorry for interrupting.
Oh, no, sir. Not at all. And that is one of the challenges. When we do identify contractor-generated debris, we do either try to address it with the contractor or the local business or the resident who's hired that contractor to have them come back and pick it up. Some of the challenges we face is the wrong items being placed in a roll cart. I mean, we have a contamination issue, just like Charleston County Recycle talked about. If there's yard debris in a roll cart, we can't, I mean, obviously physically we could collect it, but when we go to the landfill to dump it off, county can penalize the town for having mixed debris, which could result in fines or other restrictions. So having the wrong items in the roll cart is a challenge. What we have, county showed you their cards that they put out. We have what we call an oops card, where the driver will fill it out and leave it at the residence. On the can or whatever, so they know why it wasn't collected. And if they come out, they fix the issue, we'll then come out and collect the garbage. Items placed outside the roll cart presents a challenge as well. Like I said, we do offer a second container for $70, but going to the fully automated trucks was supposed to make us more efficient. But when we have to get out to pick up stuff that's left outside of the roll cart, it cuts down on the efficiency where, you know, we were the intent, you pull up, you know, the arm goes out, dumps the container, puts it back down and goes. We have to then stop, get out of the truck and deal with whatever's outside of the roll cart. Incorrect placement of the roll carts. This was an education thing. Like the county had said, in the past, when it was always, when it was just fully automatic or rear loader trucks, the guy on the back would go grab the handles and it was easier facing him because then he could pull it away. But the fully automated garbage trucks is the exact opposite. You want the handles facing the house. We've already discussed contractor generated debris as a challenge. Mixed debris piles, especially you'll see this on the C&D vegetation side. If the bulk items aren't separate from the vegetation items, again, there gets to be an issue because those get have to be separated. And then if they're not, then the town can be penalized for that. So trying to keep the piles separated. And then we do have some outdated ordinances, which we are trying to fix as part of the livability task force within the town strategic plan. And this is basically, you know, the town has evolved their operations. And so we're trying to get the ordinances up to speed with how we do business within waste management collection within the town. So those should be submitted as part of, you know, general ordinance changes that the livability task force identifies. And that pretty much is the conclusion of my brief, if there's any questions.
Any questions of Mr. Weiss? Councilmember Richard.
Good morning. Thank you for the presentation.
Yes, sir.
Two quick questions. Did I hear you say you will pick up cardboard if it's crushed down and laid outside the can, or has
no,
to be in
it
the
should
can?
Be in the cart.
Okay. So what's the recommendation for those large boxes, that especially around the holiday time that you have?
Yes,
what
sir.
What are we doing with those?
Well, I mean, the way it should be done is either you collapse them or cut them up and it goes into the roll cart, or it goes into the recycle bin and it gets collected as part of the normal collection cycle. The other option is county offers some convenience centers. There's one there at the Whipple Tennis Courts. There's one at the DMV there. I think those are the two in the town that are jumping out at me. That's where those should go for residents to drop off at their convenience.
Thank you. And the other was about the contractor debris, if you will. What about those DIY folks? The ones, should they call ahead if they're doing their own work and there's not a replacing flooring, let's say?
Yes, sir. No, I'm doing some of that myself right now, and we will collect it. And I mean, it's you can kind of tell who's doing it on their own and who's doing it in mass with a contractor. And it's a judgment call. We generally kind of try to give the resident the benefit of the doubt, and we will collect that as part of our bulk item collection. But if it's abused, and it's funny, we do have neighbors that will say, hey, they're having a contractor do this, you know, because they want it. People do try to do the right thing. Some people try to sneak it in, but we will collect it if residents are doing the work.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions? Ms. Corley.
Best way to dispose of food, do you think? What should people do?
Well, I mean, the food, we will collect that as part of the, you know, put it in the trash bag and put it in the roll cart out at the curb, and that's part of normal garbage collection.
I'm thinking about doing a compost pile. And then light bulbs, where do they go?
Light bulbs will, a lot of times they'll go to, like the stores will take them back. Some of them will do that.
I didn't know that you couldn't put light bulbs in trash. Honestly.
I think it depends on the type of light bulb.
Okay, and that's just the fluorescent ones.
Yes.
Well, I just wanted to just make a statement that I think our town goes above and beyond picking up crazy stuff off the side of the road, and we have the best drivers. They're always so happy, so polite, and I have always been so impressed with the way that we get rid of household waste. Reliability also, I can't think of one time when they weren't there on the day they were supposed to, and if they weren't going to show up, we found out in advance. So thank you
yes,
so much.
And usually if we miss something, the residents will call in, and since we don't run normal collection operations on Friday, that's kind of our catch-up day, where if a resident says they were skipped, we'll get out there Friday to pick it up.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chapman.
Any other questions? And again, I want to echo what Ms. Corley said about the personnel who are in the garbage and waste management area. They just are fantastic, and please thank them for
Yes, sir.
Us.
Will do. Thank you.
Hearing no other questions, we'll adjourn.